You're listening to a message from Franklin Vineyard Church, where we're all about reaching disenchanted hearts. If you'd like some more information, be sure to check us out at franklinvineyard.org.
I really am looking forward to sharing this morning. It's been interesting, a loving time as we've been looking at this passage of an Acts. We've been in a series really since Pentecost Sunday. And I am really looking forward to just speaking on how to hear God right now. Have you noticed how opinion people are lately? Anybody know how opinionated people are? I want to share on hearing God in the highly opinionated world. I really do. You been thinking about that? Oh, you do have an opinion of that. And I like that gorilla that we used to show in the 1970s. If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you, okay? So, you all remember that one? Hey, Doug, would you mind getting me a water, please? I forgot to get a glass of water. You know, before I start, Acts chapter 10 is what we're going to be in this morning. Have you guys ever picked up the book Knowing God? Have you ever looked at this book? It's an old, J.I. Packer just passed away a couple weeks ago. And this is a great book to just build a strong foundation of your faith in Christ. This book is like a primer of just systematic theology, just walking through and understanding how God works and how God speaks. And I'm using a chapter out of this book, Knowing God, about God as our guide. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And so, you know, people do have opinions and people, thanks, appreciate it. All right, thanks. Oh, it's a two water day, okay? I've been out 4 weeks, so you just never know how long I'm going to go. 4 weeks? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'll take that back. Hilarious. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. God, it does bring life to us. Lord, it's what we need. Lord, we need to hear your voice so clear. Lord, we need a clarion call of Lord being spoken into our hearts and in our inner persons, Lord, that we would know. Father, thank you for our guest this morning. Lord, let's pray they feel welcomed. I pray for our guests that are online this morning, and we just pray blessings over you as you watch. Lord, we ask that you'd speak clearly over the next few minutes, that, Lord, we would hear your voice, that we'd understand what are the steps we're supposed to take in this confusing COVID world. And, Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really do want to talk about opinions because everybody's got one, right? I mean, everybody's got at least one. Or two, you know, I went to my doctor, and my doctor says, you're fat. And I said, well, I'd like to have a second opinion. And he goes, well, you're ugly, too. So, come on, lighten up, man.
That's not true.
Yeah, come on, really, no, come on. You know, really, there's so many opinions out there. I mean, there's so many clanging noises that are going on. And really, those noises are really drowning out the voice of the Lord. I don't know about you, but, you know, if you spend any time on the news cycle or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, well, maybe not Instagram because you're always showing cats on Instagram, but if you see any news channel, it's just, even after a few minutes of watching it and hearing the opinions of people, I don't know about you, but I never feel life-giving after that. I just don't feel like, oh, that was a well worth time of 30 minutes watching this garbage that's been coming out. These opinions of people that are coming on. It's everywhere you go, and it's very draining. And let me say this, that God's voice is speaking and he's guiding us into what is right and best into our lives. And here's what I want to start out this morning, that in the midst of COVID and all the opinions of going on with COVID, that we are called to be the people of the Spirit. We are called to be the people of the Spirit. not of that evil spirit that's in the world, but we are called to be of the Holy Spirit. And I love this story. John Ortberg, who's a pastor in Pasadena, he was teaching at Fuller Seminary, and he was actually in L.A., and he was driving around, and he left the campus, and he realized that he left his day timer on the campus. And so he got real frantic. Now, some of you guys don't remember what a day timer is. Some of you guys, day timers is like your brains. It's your calendar. It's your contact list. It's everything. It's your list. It's like your phone today. So he left his day timer. He left his day timer and everything in his directions on the roof of his car, and he drove off. And he just went off this thing, and he was just kind of hopeless without that. So he circled back and went to the parking lot, hoping to find his day timer, but all he saw were little papers along the side of the road. And he goes, this doesn't mean anything to me. This is helpless. And I'm just kind of, he's kind of getting frantic because this is his brains, you know, this is everything. And all of a sudden, a car came around the corner, and a woman driving, honking the horn and waving his day timer out the window. And she pulled up to him and said, is this your day timer? He goes, yes. He goes, well, I was driving along and I saw it lying on the road. So I picked it up and I kept driving. And as soon as I got to Colorado Boulevard, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, you need to come back to this place and give it to somebody. And she goes, do you believe in, this is a pastor, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? This woman asked. And John Ortberg said this, Holy Spirit, do I believe in him? Lady, I work for him. And that's what we do. We walk in the Spirit. And you know, this series we're talking about is called Life in the Spirit. And honestly, we've never really defined what that is. Over the last 8 or 9 weeks, we've not defined what is life in the Spirit. So I want to take a few minutes to do that. Is it really possible to lead a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided, Spirit-empowered life? To walk in the Spirit that you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh? The reality is that we have the Holy Spirit, and this is where we live, and this is what we have. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us, but our thoughts lag behind that reality. Our thoughts lag behind that rally. We walk in the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, but our thoughts are not there. Our thoughts lagging behind, and there's a gap between what we are and what we are thinking and believing. There's this gap, and this is the root of conflicts, fear, lack, faithlessness, anxiety, confusion, and all those things we are facing of the lies of this world. We are not living in the reality of walking in the flesh, but what we are living in is walking in the reality of our fleshly mind. And God calls us to live and walk in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's role is to mediate the presence of Christ to us. And when we're talking about mediate the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit is to mediate the presence of Jesus to us. It means to manifest his presence wherever we are, especially in the world, but especially in the life of the believers. And walking in the Spirit, that he is actively manifesting the presence of Jesus in this world, and especially in the life of you. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. That you would walk in the Holy Spirit, you'd walk in step with the Holy Spirit, you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you'd be walking in life and joy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active. He's powerfully enlightening. He is animating. He's transforming me. He stirs my sluggishness. He sharpens my insight. He soothes my guilty conscience. He sweetens my temper. He supports me under pressure and strengthens me for the times so that I can reflect God's glory no matter what's going on in the world. Do I need to say that again? No, I don't. We are people of the Spirit. We need to steward the Spirit. We need to learn to steward the Spirit, right? So we walk in the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We also got to steward the Holy Spirit. And that means we've got to listen to what opinions. And that means what are we going to let into the hard drive of our soul, the operating system. And we are told over and over again through the Scriptures, there's going to be a lot of opinions in the world, right? There's a lot of opinions, and not all of them are good. In fact, some are very deceptive. Matthew 24:3-4 says this, what will be the sign of your coming, the disciples ask? And that's been really the question of today, right? Seems like Jesus Christ is coming back soon. What are the signs of Jesus' return? Jesus, out of the chute, says this, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Watch out that no one deceives you in 24:3-4. And he goes on in verse 11, many false prophets will appear and deceive many. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 says this, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is the spirit of the age right now. That's what's going on. There's a lot of opinions, and there are false opinions and false lies that are going on. And Jesus, out of the chute, is saying, don't be deceived. What's going on in this world? Don't be deceived. And you got to be on guard about not following after deceptions. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says this, test everything. Yes. Test it all. Hold on to good. That's our job. We're to steward the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. Isn't that good? That's the kind of things we're supposed to be walking in right now. You know, we're not walking in the opinions of the world. We're walking in the spirit of revelation and wisdom. That you can have revelation right now. And I mean... during worship, we said, he anoints my head with oil, right? Your head, the places where your brain, your mind, the thinking, he anoints your head with oil. In other words, he wants to sanctify your thinking and your thought processes and your beliefs so that you are not walking according to the Spirit. You're not walking in this gap. You're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and throughout all life. That is what we call walking in the Spirit. It's this clarion call. And here's what I'm absolutely sure of this morning, that God wants to speak to you and me and to this church and to the universal church, that what it means to be the people of God in these most trying times. He wants to give us the spirit of revelation and wisdom and to walk in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. John 14 says this, he has given us, Holy Spirit has been given to us, the spirit of truth, right? The spirit of truth, the spirit of the world cannot accept them, neither does it see him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and ye will be in you. That is a great promise for you right now. The Holy Spirit is living inside you right now. Right now. And I tell you what, when you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I mean, you just kind of just like, you know what? So what? Got to wear a mask today? So what? Oh, I got another report on COVID? So what? It's all going to come manifest. God's light's going to show on every part of the darkness in this world, and we're not going to have to be flipped out about anything. It's the absolute truth. And that's what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. It means that I'm not going to have my mind being influenced by a deceiving spirit that wants to take me away from following God and glorifying him in everything that I do. And that's walking in the Spirit. That the world does not have a hold on me. So, that's my introduction. So Acts 10, we're in this story of Peter and Cornelius, and Acts 10, as you know, Luke and Acts are actually written by Luke. It's actually volume 1, volume 2. Volume 1, Luke, is like the Holy Spirit leading Jesus to Jerusalem, and Acts is really the Holy Spirit leading the church out of Jerusalem. It's kind of, that's the flip point of those two things. And so here's a story of the church being led out of Jerusalem and actually into the Gentiles. And Peter and Cornelius are really the two principal factors here, the main characters in this passage. And really to understand that God really is working through both of them. And so in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives a promise that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit will fall on them. Then all men will prophesy and all these things are going to happen to us. And they are going to be his witnesses throughout Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. Then Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls and that's exactly what happens. And the Holy Spirit comes and they begin to speak in tongues and people begin to recognize, hey, they're speaking my language and God is just moving his church out of Jerusalem. And then there are three waves of Pentecost. They fell on Jerusalem believers. believers. And then they fell on the Samaritans who became believers. And then in this passage, which is very significant for the church, it's the longest passage and narrative in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts. And it's a significant shift in church history because it's been moving from Jewish and Samaritan believers into the Gentiles. And this is a significant historical point in the church. And the reason why we're here today is because of this passage. It's a phenomenal passage. It just goes along things. And so this is very significant. So there are three waves that are going on. They fall out on Jerusalem, fall on the Samaritans, and then the third wave of the Holy Spirit is going to fall on the Gentiles. And in this chapter, it's the longest in chapter 10, 11, there are basically seven scenes. I don't have time to go through all of them. There are basically Cornelius and Peter, and they're talking. And Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He is here. He's a devout Jew, a Gentile. He's giving to the poor. He's praying as a devout follower. And he's hearing these things. And suddenly an angel shows up in chapters verse 1 and 2. And he shows up. And the angel says, go and find this man, Peter. And that leads us to the second scene. And so Peter is he's up on his balcony. He's praying about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And suddenly he has a vision. He goes into a trance. And he goes into trance, and he suddenly starts seeing this tablecloth come falling down full of animals. And the word comes, go kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to eat those things. It's unclean. And the Lord says, don't call things that are clean that I've called unclean, clean. And so he's just having this dialogue with God over these things, and 3 times it happens. And he falls in this trance because he's seeing these things. Now, some of you know what a trance is. I've seen my kids go into a trance, actually. You know, I've asked them to take out the garbage, and they kind of go into a trance. And, your wife's saying, I've seen my husband do the exact same thing, you know. And so there's this thing going on, but the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and says, go and follow these men. There's going to be some men that are going to follow and ask you to go, and that goes to the third scene. And so Peter shows up to these guys, and Cornelius' men are showing up, and they take him to the fourth scene where Peter and Cornelius met. And so the intercessory in verse 24 and verse 28, he tells them, you know I'm not supposed to associate with you. It's unlawful for a Jew to associate or visit anyone of another nation. But he says, but God. Isn't that amazing? But God. See, God's voice is trumping our opinions. God's trumping our religion. God's trumping the things that we have our prejudices about. And he's speaking loudly to Peter and says, I'm going to change the way you think. It's my opinion that counts, not yours. And he goes, I'm going to change that. He says, it's not good for a Jew to associate with those or visit another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. And this is how the church moves into this place where the Gentiles are beginning to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Peter begins to have this fifth scene where he begins to preach the gospel. And the sixth scene, Holy Spirit falls on the Gentile believers and everyone starts having the Holy Spirit. And that's like, well, that's a picture of community. That's what we're going to talk about next week, actually. And then the seventh scene is where they actually go back to the Jewish Gentiles, Jewish believers, and they say, what did actually take place? But what I want to talk about this morning is that, obviously, through this passage, I've gone very quickly, and I hope you go back and read it. It's like, how do we learn to recognize God's voice in the midst of all these things? Obviously, God is guiding Peter, right? God is guiding Cornelius. God is a speaking God, and so he's trying to find this thing. And I say, well, what are some foundations for us this morning, and how can we understand how God is speaking? How can I increase my understanding of how God wants to speak to me? And I just want to start with this reality that God's redemptive plan is the foundation of this hearing God. That God wants to speak to you, but he's also speaking to you as part of his redemptive plan for history. See, that goes against the mantra of our day, doesn't it? Because if you're talking to a young college graduate, and my daughter just graduated this weekend, and you ask those questions to those people around the table, and you say, well, how do you know what God has called you to do? And a lot of people have said, well, I just believe that I'm supposed to follow my passion, right? Or you might hear this thing, pursue your dreams, right? Or do what you love and love what you do. And it's all about finding what you want to do in your own heart and what's finding your own purposes and finding your own passion, your own dreams. And that is totally wrong because here's what they're finding. And this is from a study from research from Stanford University and Yale University. They said, if you're trying to follow your passion, it's going to limit your pursuits. You're going to have an inflated expectations, and you're going to leave eventually going to be burned out because you're not really following a way of something that's grander than what's going on. So in other words, if it gets too hard for your passion, I'll just give up on it. And that's exactly what takes place. He says this, the most successful kids and people that go out of the study, they're saying this, that they find their inner, they don't look inside to plan their life, they look outside to find a need or God's call, which then summons their life. It's not about finding your passion inside or following your dreams or just doing what you love. It's like looking up or looking out and saying, God, what is your redemptive plan? What is those things that I'm supposed to do? And that is what summons you, and that's what brings you to a place of living out what God has for your life. And that's exactly what it is. It means he has eternity for us. He's placed eternity in our hearts, which means a plan for the ages, that he accomplishes things in accordance to his will. And that means God has a plan for his creation and the people of God. He worked through Israel, Jesus, the whole ministry on earth was to do the works of the Father, and then Acts, the work of the Father, then working through the church to bring redemption. And five times Paul talks about Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. And what I'm saying this morning, that every time you intersect with God, every time you encounter God, it's not about what you are inside, it's about what God wants to do through you for his redemptive plan. It says a redemptive plan that God wants to work with you. There's this old Whitney Sing tool, and some of you guys might have used it years ago. It's called a little track that comes out that says, God loves you and I have a plan for your life. Have you ever seen that track? Nobody's seen that track. It's like 1970s. Tim's, yeah. I rewrite it. God loves you and I have a plan for your life. That's how I write it. Here's what it means. God has a redemptive story. When he intersects with your life, it's not about finding your desires. It's about God's purposes that are going to be worked through you. Be worked through you. And that means God has a plan for your life. Every time God speaks and acts, it's always about missions. It's always about moving people out. You think all through Acts, the detailed Acts of how God spoke, he was always moving them missionally. God speaks and he guides, he speaks missionally. God is speaking to Cornelius, God is speaking to Peter, and he is bringing them to a place of just encountering God's intersection with their life for his purpose. See, we tend to look at listening to God as our father only, right? We tend to listen to God as our father mainly. And so like when I'm down, Lord, would you comfort me with an encouraging word? Lord, when I'm a little shaky or a little fearful, Lord, would you give me a prophetic word? Would you give me a word from your scriptures? And it's all about dealing with my insides. Or, you know, if I'm kind of discouraged, you know, the Lord will come or say, or maybe you're in a place and you're making a decision and the Father will speak and he'll give you a warning person. He'll give you a warning dream or warning word. And that's what the Father does. He kind of corrects us and moves us. He's like a shepherd that leads us. And by his rod and his staff, we sang about this morning. And so we tend to think of God as a father, God as a shepherd. And those are great. But let me say this, God is also king. And he wants to redeem this earth. He wants to restore this earth. And that means he wants to restore it through you. And so when God intersects with your life and you know what the plan of God is, that means you can go into the business world, the political world, the music business, the educational world with the full confidence that God has spoken to you and that you are, like in the famous theologian John Belushi, on a mission from God. Okay, that God has used you and he's called you and you can be confident that this, that in that moment, wherever you are, there's a sphere of influence that God wants to use you in that moment. Because God has intersected with you and he's spoken to you and you can go in confidence that in that place, God wants to use you for his glory. And so number one, understanding God's voice begins with he has a redemptive purpose for you. And this is foundational. Because what I've been sensing over the last few months And if I've talked to pastors, and as you guys know, I do pastor a bunch of pastors. I talked to a guy this week, and he's like, I don't know my identity. I said, what I used to do, I can't do anymore. I think about musicians who can't perform in front of people, or singers who can't do this. And you know, people through this COVID crisis are shook to the core. They're lacking confidence. They don't know what to do or where to go. And they're like, what do I do? And this moment of this crisis of unbelief, and let me say this, unbelieving hearts cannot hear the voice of God. Unbelieving hearts cannot hear the voice of God. And if that's where the enemy wants to just keep camping on you, where you are just being challenged not to believe what God wants to do through you. Can I just say that? That God has a plan for you right now. Right now. His plan is good and great and mighty. He has a strong plan. He has a calling on you. He doesn't just bring you this far to leave you. To get stuck in a job that's full of crisis and thinking, oh, what am I supposed to do? Or I don't know if my job's going to be there anymore. No, God has a plan for you, right, regardless of what's going on in this world. How am I doing, Katie? Okay, thanks. And so it requires the foundation of God has a plan for my life. And that's a word for somebody this morning. That God has a plan for your life. And it may not feel like it. But right now, the Lord is orchestrating. Okay, I can't go anywhere. So everything that's going on in this world is to make the church tentative. Everything that's going on is shaking the confidence of Christ followers and believers in Jesus Christ. And let me say this, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And if you are a follower of Christ, you're called to be a leader in this world. Just by your nature and by your calling as a follower of Christ, God has called you to be a leader. And you say, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. People look to you to hear what is God doing in this world because they know you are walking to a different spirit, walking to the Holy Spirit. And so when you start learning to say, God, I know that I'm called. I don't care what goes on in my job. I don't know what's going on here. But there's a reality that I've been called and called by God to do great things in this world. I'm a leader in this world because I am the light of the world. I'm not being grandiose. I'm a light. You're a light. Wherever you are, God has called you light. And everything that's going on right now is to make you tentative and just doubt your calling and lose your confidence that the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Especially you two. The Lord has a plan. And he's working. He's at work in your life. Okay, I think I'm done for the day. Let's stand. Let's go. Okay? I just needed to bounce some things off you. You know, I'm going to finish up next week. We're going to stay in Acts chapter 10 and 11 for about 2 weeks, maybe three. And then we'll finish up our series on Acts, and then we'll move into something else starting in September. But here's what I want to do. I want to do ministry time for those who are lacking wisdom. Those who are lacking and don't have a lack of confidence in their calling. The Holy Spirit, we're just going to ask you to come. You know, just wanted to ask you to open your hands and just be like you're receiving a gift from the Holy Spirit. We're going to just wait here for a minute. You know, think about working and flowing with the Holy Spirit. You know, and as I teach classes sometimes on just how to do ministry time, it's like you're just watching what the Lord's doing, right? The Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit begins to flow in different ways. And we believe God's a speaking God, and he comes to us personally. He comes to us corporately. And he will come just like in different waves, and we'll see that. But I know the Lord right now, this morning, is that he wants to put in you a firm foundation of your calling. He wants to put an unshakable clarion call of who you are in Christ and what God has called you to do. So Lord, just come. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in a fresh way right now. Just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Just pray. I feel like the Lord was on those that are struggling with ministry, of how God wants to use your occupation and your vocation as ministry. That you're trying to say, okay, I know I'm a Christian and I'm a follower of Christ, but I'm having a hard time bridging that gap of using my vocation as a witness for Christ. And if that's you, no one's really looking around, okay? So would you mind just raising your hand if that's you? Like you're just kind of trying to balance out, keep them up for a minute. Just keeping the balance out between vocation and your witness. So we're going to pray for a minute. Just keep them up, just like you're going to receive a gift. Lord Jesus, right now, just come. Father, right now, would you begin to pour out your Spirit, Lord, in a fresh way. God, there would just be it's almost like I see like Lego blocks being just formed and just put together. And they're all just like these pieces of Legos on the floor, and the Lord's just starting to put them together. And you're going to be able to bridge those pieces of that puzzle, that, you know, that little Lego set, and God's going to create something beautiful in you. And so I just encourage you, when you're at work, so you can just start saying, Lord, you're a creative God. Lord, and so you can use all creation, and you can be creative. The Holy Spirit can give you creative ways to reach your students, and reach your employees, and reach your partners. So the Holy Spirit can just do that. And so just to encourage you, just come right now. So let's, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, open their ears. Lord, open them. Lord, they are called to their workplace. Lord, they're called to the school systems. Lord, they're called to the business world. And Father, I pray right now you'd use them mightily for your kingdom. Lord, that the enemy would not shut their mouths, Lord. Lord, would not shut their witness, Lord. Would not make them put in lack of confidence of knowing they're called by Christ and called by God to go into the world. So Lord, just bless them right now. Bless them right now. So then also those who are like in retirement age, and I just saw this thing about just trying to figure out what is my next chapter, okay? If that's you, if you're like, you're just kind of wondering about your next chapter, okay? You're like, you've retired or you're just moving back. There's like this, like, I don't know what God is doing kind of deal. Okay, so there's a few. Just come. Just come, Lord. Number one, the Lord's not done with you. The Lord is not done. And I just, the word is, you're being redeployed. Redeployed. So Father, right now, just come. For those in this room, online, Lord, for online church that are just sensing like I'm retired and I don't know what I'm supposed to do and how I can. I pray for, Lord, just again, this the creative work of the Holy Spirit. Father, there would take all their life skills, all their things, and just begin to say, Lord, I lay them at your hands. I lay them at your feet, Lord. I am coins in your hands. Lord, just spin me the way you want to. Just come. Some of you have two or three people in your workplace that you've been witnessing over many years. And I just sense the Lord say, don't stop casting. Keep casting a net. Keep casting a hook. Just keep casting. It's like two or three people that you've been just kind of over the, it's like almost 20 years, you've been kind of casting a net towards. And the Lord just says, keep doing it. Keep doing it. They need to hear the voice of the Lord in this season. And you have been sent by the Lord to give them a word from the Lord. You're like Peter being sent to Cornelius. They're God-fearers. They have not yet discovered the reality of Christ. And the Lord wants to send you. Let's go. Finally, I feel like there's those who are in crisis. That crisis has caused you to kind of shrink back from your calling. Let's come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Some of you in crisis. You're in crisis. And you're come seeking a word from the Lord. And I just pray, Father, right now, a comforting work of the Holy Spirit that would come to every crisis. Family, marriage, kids, health, personal addictions. Father, you would pour out your spirit right now. And God, there would just be the presence of the Holy Spirit would just rest on you. You'd feel the comfort of the Father. Just let him come. Let him come.
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Franklin Vineyard Church in Franklin, Tennessee. There's more content and more messages available on our website, franklinvineyard.org. Also, you can email us at info@franklinvineyard.org.